The thing is the Hawaiian Mountains. Yeah, I think it's Bowser. It's defined as Isaiah 63. Who is this coming from? Adam, Blood's name, garments, and Bowser. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you some slides before we go any further.
Okay. Jewish and Gentile congregation. His wife, a Jewish believer, bothers not. Okay, he and another fellow, my all passing tracks out there. And we wait.
separately like this. As far as an outsider is concerned, stay out. Don't be like them. They have themselves and close together. Alright? He also looks like Rabbi Schneerson, who is the great rabbi or the leader of the Lubavitcher movement. Worldwide. Kosher bakery. When we say kosher, you probably have to have a rabbi on the premises to oversee to make sure whatever is done has to be followed to the letter of the law. Okay, that's important. So a lot of rabbis, they decide to be as being contents or inspectors to make sure certain businesses follow the kosher or the kosher laws. This is another synagogue. This is a Russian Jew. Brooklyn, and near Brooklyn, a place called Brighton Beach, has about 100,000 Russian Jews. And we go in there, and we got last time I was here, on the other month, and we passed out Russian Hebrew Testaments to Russian Jews. And our missionaries are very bold. We don't advise you doing this. I'll tell you that. What we do, we're out to build an apartment building, we know as Russian Jews. We can't get in. Why? But we stand there, one stands there, and pushes the buttons. And someone buzzes, and we go in. I don't advise you to do that. But we do it. Only way you get the Russian Jews. And then we start at the top and work our way down. We split in two groups. One goes in the middle and one starts at the top. And we beat each other down the line. And you go around to each door. And we've never been told about yet, but some of these people are taking Hebrew scriptures. I met one lady. She spoke Russian, but she spoke Yiddish. I didn't speak Yiddish, so we couldn't converse. But they did take some tests. And we were excited about that. When we were coming down the aisle and to the top floor, he was dealing with a young Russian Jew. I could speak English. And this man was inviting him back to talk about the claims of the Son of Jesus. So you see the openness. When Bob and Bill Engelberger, the two missionaries of this one church in Brooklyn, they pass out these Russian Hebrew testaments on the boardwalk at Brighton Beach. Thousands of Russian Jews sit out there in the summertime. And it's a feeling. The Jews will take these testaments. They've never seen a Bible. You can't believe what they're saying. When you talk about the Messiah of Jesus, who is the Messiah? What are you talking about? They come from Russia, they get Russia, they know nothing. And we must strike when the iron is hot. Because the Lubavitcher movement knows about our work. And they're sending in men from Jews or Judaism to strike at these Russian Jews and tell them, we're the enemy. Be careful. Don't take anything from the missionary. So we have to do our work quickly. That's why I'm warning you, not only be involved in Jewish work and other types of missions, but be involved in Muslim work. Before mosques are set up. Once they're set up, you won't have the opportunity of reading these people to the Lord. So it's important. Before they get strong roots and connections in this country, strike while the iron is hot. Don't wait. Alright, so yeah. Now here, again, two Hasidic Jews, they saw me taking a picture, so they knew what I was getting into. These are ladies, these are Hasidic Jewish ladies, and they must have a head covering or a wig over top of their own hair. If they go bareheaded, you can pretty well figure out they have a wig on top of their hair. They cannot show their natural hair. This was taken by one of our missionaries in Denver, Colorado, and it's there at the University of Denver. And then there's a Jewish lady picking up some tracks, and apparently she saved the way for Russian City. This is, again, another shot of Brooklyn. I truly have some of these things in for you. This is what the street looked like while we were passing out tracks. Very crowded, thousands of people, and many opportunities to pass out tracks. Again, here's a young man. By the way, you see the young men in this area who are pushing the baby carriages along and taking children up by their hands. These men work at odd times. They're supported by the community. Each man works in the community, but each man has a certain time spent with his family. He's the one who takes the children up. He's the one that plays with them. He's the one you'll see pushing the baby carriage. In this area, Jewish wives are the housekeepers. They are the queen of the home. They run the home. He oversees it. But she has control of the house. That's Jewish thinking. I was there this last time during the Feast of Purim. And at the site, behold, I didn't have my camera. I'm sorry. I wish I did. Because during the Feast of Purim, it really should be a feast of rejoicing from the deliverance of the wicked king. You find it in the book of Esther, the last chapter. It is a non-feast, or a non-God-commanded feast. I'm going to put that. God-commanded seventh feast. The Feast of Purim is a feast that's observed, but it's not one of the seven. The Feast of Hanukkah is on the Caribbean. The times can't come down to the number of books. Or to the number of books. right away and get one, because most people have never seen one, I've never heard the sound of one. You've never heard the sound of a ram's horn, it's highly genuine. And a bullet has gone before, there's certain sounds, a certain number of times a bullet. Everything has a meaning to me. This is an arc. And you open those little doors up, and you'd never be a door. That's just a small arc. This, I thought I'd throw in. This is taken from Canada. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. As a coach of Chinese working. There are Chinese Jews, you know. In China, there's a large area of Chinese Jews. There are some Chinese Jews in Toronto. This is a kosher Chinese person. This is a man praying at the wedding wall. Very intense in prayer. Very intense. Here again, he has his blinders on. You probably can't see him. He's wearing a wrap above his hat. And then this is a picture of the Cowboy State University of Fresno. I told you about the mosque being erected there. There it is. Right across the street from the University of California in Fresno. This is one in Denver and Aurora, Colorado. This is outside Denver, Colorado. Again, you can see them all over the world. And they're being erected at enormous rates. I'm going to show you one thing in order for me to take a break. All of it will carry on in some of the other sessions as we go here. We'll have plenty of time to finish this and also go into some other areas. Let me say some things about Judaism itself. If you want to know more about the Jewish way, this book, you'll find this at most Walden Books or Dalton Bookstores. It costs you $10.95. It's a good investment. It's written by Dr. Blue Greenberg, and she'll tell you all different things in here. How to run a traditional Jewish household. Now don't go out and all of a sudden come back, tell your pastor, well, pastor, we're no longer going to be kosher and everything else. This is just giving you insight on the Jewish thinking. Talks about Shabbat, talks about how the kashrut, which means kosher, talks about the laws of family purity, daily prayer and blessings, parody, education, address, speech, the mezuzah. By the way, the mezuzah is that little box, or it holds the Shema in there, Deuteronomy 6:4. You'll find an angle and a door when you come in, and every Jew will touch it when he comes in, put it to his lips. Every Catholic will touch something similar, and genocide. Yarmulkes are Jewish folks, and priests wear yarmulkes, or cardinals wear yarmulkes. Roman Catholicism is Levitical priesthood. Changed it with Babylonian thinking. Judaism has been tainted with Babylonian thinking. Islam has been tainted with Babylonian thinking. The Jews came out of the dispersion and brought back the zodiac. You'll find it on some of the temple sitting on floors. The months are not Jewish. Habib and Nisan and so forth are Babylonian. That's how they got their names. Some of the things they do today come from Babylonian. Talks about marriage, birth, abortion, birth control, bar mitzvah, divorce, death and mourning, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, repentance, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, Hanukkah, Purim, Pesach, or Passover, and some other things. And the women would like this. We have some kosher recipes in here. It gives you insight in basic Judaism. Alright, let's go ahead. Judaism is a religion of people coming out of the Old Testament. And of course, and their experience with God is through the nation of Israel, is through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promise was given to Abraham. We talked about the covenants yesterday. We won't go into it now, except let me say this much. There are certain things, like the Palestinian covenant, that God bound himself to this covenant, and it will not be negated. It means that the nation will be fully and permanently restored to the area of the world given to them for an everlasting possession. Now then, there are some people who will say, I'm a spiritual Jew. There's no such thing as a spiritual Jew. You're either Jew or Gentile. You're either born Jewish or you're born Gentile. The Bible speaks of two groups of people only. Even though we have many nationalities, only two groups of people. Now, what is happening today? We have some groups of people, especially the charismatic movement, who are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm not saying don't stop praying for the peace of Jerusalem, do that. But pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. And witness to the Jewish people. We want to teach you that. The greatest form of anti-Semitism is not to share with them the good news. Keep it from them, and you're being anti-Semitic. You're saying to them, I don't love you, and you can go into a lost eternity. That's why some of the early church people felt that the Jews were not worth dealing with. They were less than dogs, actually. And then it happened to recent times. But the land is everlasting. It belongs to the nation Israel. Now then, even though there were Jews in the land, these Jews can all die off and go into a lost eternity, unless they accept Jesus as Savior. When God is talking about an everlasting possession, he's talking about Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and all the seed formed a nation. There will be a remnant of Israel left when the Messiah comes back. That remnant, you've heard me say it now 2 or 3 times, it's that remnant that turns to the Messiah Jesus in a day. In other words, it's instant conversion, the whole nation. And they're the ones that go into the millennium period as a saved nation, believing in the Messiah Jesus. Now, the Gentiles who want to be spiritual Jews, you cannot be. The Gentiles obtain blessings. Gentile believers obtain blessings through the Jewish people, nation Israel, but cannot inherit the land that belongs to the nation of Israel. Now, as I said, there are some charismatic people today who are praying for Israel, and they're so elated about the Jewish people, about Israel, they're excited about what's happening in Israel, and doing very little witnessing. And a lot of these people, charismatics and non-charismatics, are becoming what you call Christian Zionists. They're all tied up in the land. That's the way majority of the Jewish people are today in Israel. They're Zionists, and they're tied up in the land. They think Israel is the one that's bringing in the Messianic age. They've been taught that, and you'll see tonight as we start into these portions about basic Judaism. But there are things that belong to the Jews, the nation of Israel, and things that belong to the church. The church is made up of born-again Jews and Gentiles, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, there are a number of things that are unique to Judaism. One is that the young boy goes through his bar mitzvah. He becomes a man at 13 years and 1 day old. As I said earlier, the father now is no more responsible for his son's sins, for his son's deeds or actions. And the father is very happy about that. He no longer has to answer for what his son does. And they have passed it on to the girl in the liberal element of Judaism. But Orthodoxy, no. Marriage is ultimate. In the Orthodox form of Judaism, every male and female is expected to get married and have children. Very important. The basic Judaism. The home is central. One of the strengths of the Orthodox home, and Christians should take an example of this. The church should look at this very carefully. When these Jewish families immigrated to new lands, many of these areas did not have synagogues, but they would not darken the doorway of a Gentile church. What would happen on Shabbat, or Saturday, or Sabbath? The father then would become the rabbi. He's the priest of the family. He would then gather the family together, and he would go through a complete service in the home. It was different than from other days, and he would lead them through the entire service in the house. He was a spiritual leader, and he set the example. They never missed a service. How many Gentile Christians, when there's no church, what would you do? Would you sit home and watch TV, or do something else? If the church were taken away tomorrow, all these buildings throughout the United States were closed by some decree, where would you go? What would you do? I know what the Orthodox Jew would do. They would not stop it. And that's why it's so important in the family. The family structure is extremely strong. Okay, divorce among the Orthodox Jews is almost nil, although it is allowable. However, divorce among the Jewish people today has grown at an alarming rate. It is now 50% of the Jewish population, of every marriage, 50%, same as Gentiles. It's sad, but that's a fact. Yes. A rabbinical divorce has to go through a rabbinical council. And they receive what you call a get, G-E-T. And that get allows you to be divorced from your spouse. But it has to go through rabbinical sources. Orthodox Jews do not recognize a court divorce. It has to be from an Orthodox Jewish council, made up of rabbis, who will put you through the process to find out if this is really valid or not. The more reformed you are, the more liberal, anything goes. Okay? Now, we don't advocate divorce. I personally see no room for divorce. Okay? But one of the major problems of the church today is that we treat divorced people, once they are saved, enter our congregation, worse than we do murderers, rapists, or anything else. I can remember as a younger man, how they put up in the pulpit a newly born again mafia man, or a newly born again murderer, but they never put up a divorced person. The divorced person was like leprosy. And we've got to be forgiving and understanding. God forgives us sin, but it is not advocated. My personal opinion, I see no room for it. There might be some cases there, but basically speaking, it was not intended. God did not intend this. All right, let's go ahead. Abortion, there's some different thinking today among Jewish people. That's a sad fact. When a baby boy is born, he's not given the name of his brit or circumcision. At that point in time, he's given a Hebrew name and then given his non-Hebrew name. Up until that day, he has no name. Under some areas of Judaism, they would consider that baby a non-entity. It's weird, really. Yet under real strict orthodoxy, a child is a child at conception, and you take the scripture literally. But as you move along in the various sections of Judaism, that changes. And we'll show you some of that later on. All right, euthanasia basically is not practiced among Jews. Abortion, with an Orthodox doctor, I've got notes from an Orthodox physician, is not acceptable. Euthanasia is not acceptable. I said the other night that euthanasia is spreading and it's moving in the area now of withdrawing food and water. I was shocked when I read that report and read the things that were going on in the name of medicine. I've come to my conclusion, I don't mean to frighten you by this. I've spent some years in hospital work prior to getting back into the ministry, and I've stopped being shocked at what I see. The highest suicide rate is among psychiatrists and psychologists. Psychiatry and psychologists that study various philosophies and concepts of psychoanalysis and concepts of these men is basically occultic. Carl Jung practiced reincarnation. Give you some idea about his religious background. And some of them thinking, I have a brother-in-law who has a PhD in psych, so I know what I'm talking about. I've met too many psychiatrists in hospitals that have emotional problems. Really. So I know what I'm talking about. I've met them personally. They have a lot of serious problems. And what's cropping up today bothers me tremendously. Because what they are practicing now is on the older person. I'm surprised AARP hasn't taken a firm stand on this. But now they're practicing getting rid of the older people. What Governor Lamb said now is taking fruition slowly, very quietly behind the scenes. What I think will happen eventually, if we live long enough, is that the Christians will become, especially the fundamentalists, will become a group of people that is not needed. You say, that's impossible. Study your history. Study what happened in Nazi Germany. Where did euthanasia, abortion, the purification of the race, genetic engineering, all this concept start? With the physicians in Germany, with the intelligentsia in Germany, through Nietzsche and the great philosophers. It was picked up and motivated by a very charismatic leader, Adolf Hitler. Read the history. Go to the public library. Read what he had to say. His first goal was to get a hold of the church and take it under the protection of the state so that they would not be corrupted. And he said, he trusted Christ as his savior. And yet the next breath he was wanting to get rid of the Jews. And this progressed as the church went against him. Then the church, in his language, became the opium of the people. But all this started not with the uneducated, but with the educated, the liberals. What's happening today is starting with the educated, the liberals, the intelligentsia, the physicians. It's doctors who are OBGYN, deliver the babies, and are also killing the babies. The American Pediatric Association came out a few years ago with a blanket statement. It came out of medical journals and said this, that they now support abortion, and yet they are the baby doctors. They are now practicing selectivity on babies. If the mother finds the baby has some malfunction, or if it's not a boy or a girl or not the baby they want, they abort it. I've got a newspaper article on that. I'm not sure where that one is. But anyway, they say they're not doing it, but they're practicing it. It was never approved to get an abortion all the way to the 9th month. They are now doing it. You can abort, and it's being done now, even at birth period, when the baby's being born. You're practicing euthanasia, or practicing abortion. Euthanasia is being practiced now on a greater scale than ever before. 70% of the American population was queried by, not a Gallup poll, but one of the polls, approved euthanasia. 70% of the American population queried in a poll, approved euthanasia. So you see, we're changing. Situational ethics. What happened to the code of Hippocrates, the hypocritical oath? The men are coming out of medical schools today with different philosophies and concepts of medicine than was taught 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. These things are going on. Where do you learn these things, Brother Green? Go to your public library. If your city's big enough, it will probably have a journal on the American Medical Association, American College of Surgeons. You'll find various writings there. Take time, read through a lot of the technical data. You will find some of the thinking going on in our medical group today. Hospitals are just as guilty. They approve of it. And if a hospital, like let's say a Catholic hospital, I will say this much, I'll give the Catholics credit. A true Catholic hospital will not practice abortion or euthanasia. But a judge can order that patient withdrawn from that hospital and put into a hospital that will practice it. It's going on. I said, Arkansas, you can die by proxy. It doesn't have to be your loved one. It can be a court order, or it can be a physician or somebody who can make a decision for you. Under Orthodox Judaism, this is not practiced. Find yourself a good Orthodox Jewish doctor. Make sure you practice it. All right. Legal rights, they vary in different situations. Kosher means practicing the Jewish laws of the Old Testament. And that's called kashrut. I would advise getting this little book.